What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good morning, millennials.
Welcome back to The Toast. And happy Friday. Gotta get down on Friday. Everybody's looking forward to the weekend. Friday. Get down Friday. Hey, Jax, how you doing?
Not well, bitch.
Me neither.
I pulled my neck and I can't move. Like, I'm in pain and I'm like, I really can't. I'm Zoolander. I can't turn. It's not only like inconvenient, but it's extremely painful. So my dance moves for the Friday jingle were not giving what they usually give. They're a little stiff for sure. At least though, thankfully, I was able to give my all to the 1000 dance.
Okay, I thought you were going to say you're not well. And then I was like, me neither, because we're not together.
Oh, yeah. Just to add misery on top of misery.
To add insult to injury.
It's literally so true. Because if we were together, like, yeah, my neck would hurt and we would talk about it, but it'd be okay because we're together. But like, I had to put my studio back together with a creaked out neck, and I'm just literally not okay.
If we were together, I definitely would massage you and we would be so happy together.
We would, even though a massage like doesn't help for a pulled neck.
No, there are a few things in life that are truly worse than having like a thrown out back or a strained neck, because you don't even realize it. Your back is something you take for granted. Like, it just works, you know, knock wood, thank God, Baruch Hashem, every day. And it isn't until you're like inconvenienced in the most minor way when it comes to your back or your neck that you realize how your whole body relies on your back and your neck.
And it's like the place where it's pulled is kind of in between my neck and my back. So it's kind of both areas are impacted by this injury. I'm beside myself.
I'm so sorry. Excuse me. I sneezed on it. It's true.
It's true that you're sorry.
I really am. I have a lot of sympathy. I've thrown out my back. It's debilitating. And I don't even have any children. Like, you still got to, be a mom.
I know. It was really hard this morning. But it happened in the middle of the morning. Like, I swear, I sneezed and I was like, that didn't feel right.
Sometimes a sneeze can kill you.
Usually I wake up with it because I like kind of sleep weird with all my pillows. Like, I'm doing it to myself. But it was the sneeze through my neck.
That's the thing. People always ask, like, when you throw out your back, what happened? You know, were you, you know, using a forklift? Like, no. When I threw my back out the first time, I literally bent down to plug in my phone charger. It's like, it's always the most like innocuous, regular, daily life things that just fucking throw out your back. It's never anything even like overtly physical.
It was a sneeze, you guys. You guys got to watch out. For the sneeze.
You better watch out for them sneezes.
Because they tell you, like, wash your hands. You don't want to get a cold. But you don't want to throw your back out either.
Right. And maybe I bent over the sink a little weird while washing my hands. And now I have a thrown out back. But I have clean hands.
If I wash my hands, I wouldn't have a cold. And then I wouldn't have sneezed and thrown my back.
It all comes back to, like, proper hygiene.
Doesn't everything?
Well, today's episode is really special because, you know, we're not together and it's fine. It's fine. But it is our last show before the Super Bowl. And I think we got to make some predictions. You know, people kind of have come to rely on us.
I was in the middle of ordering my Super Bowl groceries and I forgot to hit order. Excuse me.
What'd you get?
Oh, well, I had to stock up on just the necessities in the house. Milk. Yeah, Harry drinks milk now.
Oh, yeah. Grown-ass man shit. And I like how you got your license and you have a car and you still order your groceries online.
Now it's about finding the time to go. Like, I really intended for this to be like an in-person excursion, but we don't have the time. Plus, now with the neck, it's just not going to happen. I had to get like some cleaning supplies for the house, and then I'm making nachos, like I told you. So I ordered all the ingredients, got some more tater tots, yogurt, fruits, butter, you know, just a restock.
Just the regular everyday household items.
Because I'm a regular everyday household frau.
You really are a regular everyday household frau. I still have no plans for the Super Bowl, but like I can't really think about the Super Bowl. I haven't even really started to tell everyone about how like I'm kind of like so busy next week. Like you I don't want to, you know.
I thought there was just like the one thing.
Yeah, but it's like a really big thing.
Oh, okay.
So I'm, it's like on Monday.
So the rest of your week is kind of like wide open.
No, I'm like going to be thinking about it for the rest of the week, probably like, you know, lamenting on what I did wrong or what I could have done better. But so on Monday, not only was I invited to Cynthia Rowley's fashion show, but it's kind of like a celebration of women in comedy. So there's like, you know, five or six really premium female comics, not only walking in the show, but I think we're also doing like a little set. And I'm one of them. And it's not like, it's a big deal. Like Nikki Glaser's there too. And she's like a real comedian, you know, Ego Nwodum from SNL. And your girl was tapped. And I'm so honored. And I'd like to thank, you know, Kit Keenan. I'd like to thank Kit Keenan's mom. I'd like to thank everyone who made this possible. I'm very excited, you know, because I'm like a fashion girly and like a comedy girly. So
it's really like a blend of your two passions.
Fashion, you know, art and comedy.
Yeah. Well, I have a joke if you want to include it.
Hit me up.
Okay, because it's the Cynthia Rowley fashion show. So we say, hey, everyone, welcome to Cynthia Rowley. And then you'll say,
Jesus.
Excuse me, wench.
I thought of it last night.
And then you'll say, Cynthia. Jesus Cynthia. Jesus died for our Cynthias.
Okay, I thought of it last
night. And if people don't laugh, you need to leave because that's not your kind of crowd.
So, okay, once I say it and they don't laugh, I'm going to say, well, my sister said if you guys don't laugh, I have to leave. So thanks so much for having me. Have a great night, everyone.
You are like uncultured swine.
But wait, you want to hear something even crazier? Mm-hmm. I've never seen that movie. So you and Margo were always doing that slam poetry thing. Cynthia, Jesus died for our Cynthia. And I like know it because of you guys, but I literally don't even know. Like, I know it's 22 Jump Street, but like, I don't know the reference. Like, I don't know anything.
So there's a murder on campus, a death. Classic. I'm sorry. It's a death of a girl named Cynthia. And they have like a slam poetry evening, like they just have slam poetry. And she like, Jonah Hill is like trying to impress a girl in slam poetry. So he said he wrote a slam poetry about Cynthia. the girl who passed, the deceased. And he got up there and he said, Cynthia, Jesus died for our Cynthias.
It's kind of good.
Yeah, there was more too. It was really beautiful.
Yeah, I got to write some jokes. I'm still waiting to be told like what exactly I'm doing. So then I can, you know, write some material. But I think I'm also walking in the show. And that I'm like extremely ill prepared for. I can barely walk down the street without like picking my wedgie. Yeah. I literally picked my wedgie on my way to work today, and I was thinking, my underwear was like so far up my vagina, and I was like, I never see other people picking their wedgies, yet here I am constantly like wedgie picking.
Well, maybe it's just one of those situations where it's like you don't notice things about people don't notice things about other people, they just notice it about themselves. Like,
I just feel like wedgie picking is like noticeable.
Yeah, I would just pretend like I didn't see it. I would just like,
no, I would
forget about it.
I would not pretend I didn't see it. I would feel, it would like immediately bring me like peace. I'm like, oh my God, another gorgeous girl on the street.
No. Because when you pick a wedgie, like it's not gross. But when someone else does, like you're literally seeing their fingers go into their butt.
Not in their butt. It's like around the cheek.
But it has butt stuff.
Yeah, no, totally. Like then you're like spreading fecal matter onto your hands and onto the subway and onto the doorknobs.
Yeah, like it's not, there's a lot of relief when you pick your own wedgie, but to see someone else do it is all gross.
So true. So that's what I'm like kind of preoccupying. Like I know it's a Super Bowl this weekend, but like I'm focused on my big performance on Monday. I got my fitting later today. So I'm just like, I'm nervous, to be real. Like I'm nervous.
You're going to be amazing.
Thank you.
It's all your passions. You so all you have to do is just be yourself. They're going to love you, Turdy. And if they don't, you know, fashion shows are really quick. Like,
so true.
It'll be over in a flash and they'll be running to the next one.
So true. But I got good placement. You know, I'm not first, I'm not last, I'm third, which is like a really good number.
If you're not first, you're last.
No, I disagree. I disagree.
So back to our Super Bowl predictions. Middle of the pack you are.
Right. So if I stink, like, they won't even remember.
Yeah, but if you're amazing, they'll be like, where's that middle girl again?
Yeah, no, and that's fine by me.
Yeah.
So let's go over some of our Super Bowl predicciones.
Okay.
Do we have any stories about the Super Bowl?
Yeah,
should we save
Rihanna.
That? Okay, so I won't talk about Rihanna, but we can talk about the actual game.
Which is what we're obsessed with anyway.
Oh, so true. Chiefs versus Eagles. Who you got, Jax?
I'm torn because I would prefer for the Chiefs to win by a slight margin. Like, I'm not, Jason Kelce is really closing the gap on that.
Yeah.
But I think the Eagles are going to win. I think it's the Eagles' time.
Yeah. I kind of support everything you just said. You know, as a New York fan, like, you really can't root, not New York fan, like New Yorker. It's a kind of illegal to root for the Eagles, especially, you know, on top of that, given the fact that the reason the 49ers aren't in the Super Bowl is because of the Eagles. So I can't fuck with the Eagles, especially, like, I have a toxic relationship with Philly. Like, it's going to be a no for me, even though I'm, like, not even that jazzed about the Chiefs.
No, I'm not even that jazzed.
It's the lesser of two
either.
Evils.
Agreed. It feels like everyone in the country who's not, doesn't have Philly ties, like, will not root for Philly. Do you know what I mean?
They don't make it easy.
No, it's like Zach, he's from Dallas. He's like, well, I can't root for the Eagles. I'm like,
oh, really?
What's your beef? It's every.
What is his beef?
I don't, like, I guess the Cowboys hate them. Like, everybody hates them except
everyone
for,
hates them.
Except for them.
It's so true.
I kind of love that for them, though.
No, it's giving villain energy.
It's giving toast.
Yes.
You either love them or you hate them.
It's giving Danielle Staub. There is no in between with them.
No. So I kind of like, now when you put it that way, I relate.
I respect it.
You know, I feel like if the Eagles were a team, they would have done 1,000 episodes.
They have history is what you're saying.
You and me got a whole lot of history.
Oh, no. That's such a good song.
And it's so true because we do have a lot of history. I would say 1,000 episodes of history.
Yeah, so this is 1,001.
We came back, you guys. You thought maybe we'd retire after 1,000. Maybe we'd, like, take a hint. It's too many episodes. But no.
No, by the way, our episode, like, overperformed yesterday. Like, our numbers were through the roof because everybody was tuning in to see that turnt performance of ours. So if anything, we've been reinvigorated for another 1,000.
Another 1,000. And we're almost at our 5-year anniversary, which means it was just under 5 years that it took us. I was saying it was 5 and change.
Oh, yeah.
It's 4 and 3 quarters. So we'll see you in another 4 and 3 quarters, Baruch Hashem, God willing.
We'll see you in another 4 and 3 quarters. I feel like people who love this show, like, live in fear that it's going to end.
I know.
No matter how many times we tell them, like, girlies, even if we were offered, let's say, like, deadass, one of us or both of us, like, we were offered a job on, like, The Talk or one of those, like, daytime daily shows, like, I would still do this. Like, I don't think I would even want that.
No, I feel like you would want that as long as you could still do this, but you would never choose like a seat on a rotating cast of clowns where you could lose your seat at any time and the show could go under when, like, we've got a good thing going. I always say it's like, you know, people will be like, Jax, do you think you've outgrown the toast? It's like, can Queen Elizabeth outgrow the throne? No. This is a job for life.
Literally. It's literally like being a Supreme Court justice. It's a lifelong job.
Literally.
The show, like, will not end. So I just need everyone to, like, relax.
Turdy, this is the show that never ends. It must go on and on, my friends. Some people started listening, not knowing what it was. And they'll just keep on listening because this is just because this is the show that never ends. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. My neck is broken, friends.
Gorgeous rendition. Absolutely. You know, I love that song and I know you hate that song. So
I like it when there's a remix that's applicable to my situation.
Remix. So thanks to everyone for the kind words yesterday. We got a lot of feedback. People were kind of guffawed that we thought that there was, you know, not a single person out there who's listened to every single episode. And we were flooded with comments.
Flooded.
I have no doubt listened to every episode. That includes Patreon, includes guests. So I'm actually feeling reinvigorated. And I think a lot of the times, we say this all the time, when you do the same thing every day, you know, sometimes it starts to feel like, you know, you're shouting into the void or just like speaking into an echo chamber. And like, you're like, is anyone even listening? And like, you see the numbers, but it doesn't feel like real people. And I think yesterday, you know, a lot of people who are mostly silent listeners, the show is just a part of their daily routine. They don't need, you know, to send messages or leave comments. They just love the show for what it is. So many of the silent listeners came out, just like dropped a comment, be like, hey, like I never comment, just love the show, congrats, on DMs. And I have like a new reinvigorated sense of self.
Yeah. And there were so many people. I thought there would maybe be like one or two who listened to every thousand, but people were like, no, I've been listening since the beginning. And even when I miss an episode, I will not listen to the next one until I've caught up on the other one. So
no. And there were people who were like, I started listening 2 years ago and I went back to the beginning and started from scratch.
Yeah. They'll be like, if you check my podcast app, there is nothing that's like unlistened
not
to.
Downloaded. Yeah. Yeah. So I love that. It's a great way to start the weekend with gratitude in our hearts.
Gratitude.
With a reinvigorated spirit. And I think that's all you could really ask for a Friday show, honestly.
Honestly. And a lot of musical stylings, which you're getting.
Which you're getting.
So without further ado, here are the Fast Five stories that you need to know before Super Bowl weekend, because the next time that we see you, we will know who won the Super Bowl and we will see Rihanna have performed for the first time in many years.
It's true. And what Jackie just said is brought to you by European Wax Center. Break away from the winter blues with a wax from the experts. Book a service today at European Wax Center. So European Wax Center's exclusive Violet Comfort Wax is formulated with skin-smoothing ingredients that provide you with your best smooth. All it takes is 15 minutes, whether you're jet-setting or just staying at home. Get the quick refresh that you deserve in 15 minutes or less. You can extend your smooth at home with our post-wax faves. So each one is designed to complement your wax and maintain silky smooth skin all winter long. And if you're ready for a refresh, the first one is on them. Get your first wax free at European Wax Center. So I feel like this is a great reminder, like just because it's the cold season, like don't stop your self-care, because I think I went through this recently where like I just totally like stopped hair removal for like a few weeks just because I'm like, it's winter, who cares? And it kind of like makes you feel like not gross, but it's like you're not upkeeping with your daily beauty tings, and making that reservation at European Wax Center is just kind of going to catapult you and like into a great self-love era. You know, it's important to take care of yourself. Just because it's cold doesn't mean we stop our routine. European Wax Centers are the experts in waxing for everyone. When you visit, you get the best of the best. Their certified wax specialists are expertly trained in prepping, protecting, and pampering your skin. Beat the winter blues with a wax from the experts. Keep you silky smooth all season long with 15-minute appointments, exclusive comfort wax, and an array of post-wax products. Beating the winter blues is smoother than ever before. If you want to give it a try, your first wax is on the house. Get your first wax free. Experience a new state of smooth at European Wax Center. Make a reservation today where your first wax is free. Today's episode is also brought to you by Seed. So it's that time, you guys, if you're into like habit stacking or just kind of getting your routine in a good place, Seed is a really great place to start. Their DS01 Daily Symbiotic is a plant-based prebiotic and probiotic with 24 strain that has been clinically and scientifically studied for its benefits. So it's free from 14 classes of allergens that are defined by the EFSA, and that includes sugar-free, vegan-free, vegan, soy-free, sesame-free, gluten-free, peanut-free, glyphosate, AMPA-free, dairy-free, shellfish-free, corn-free. You take two capsules once a day on the empty stomach, so it can be the first thing in the morning, basically 30 minutes before your first meal or 2 hours after your last meal, and it's engineered to survive your external and internal environments. So they're capsule and capsule via cap safeguards viably get that capsule through digestion for delivery of an average of 100% of your probiotic starting dose into your colon. The outer capsule also serves as an elegant barrier for oxygen, moisture, and heat, so there's no refrigeration necessary. So it's just good for your digestive health if you've been having trouble with like bloating or just, you know, making BSDs, big soft duties, as we like to call them. Take control of your tummy, your digestion, your gut. Start taking the Seed pre and probiotic. It makes an enormous difference, and it's just something that you don't have to worry about anymore. Just like, you know, you'll be taking it every day, you'll be regular, and you'll start feeling good. You won't feel like that brick in your stomach. That's the worst feeling. It's just good for your gut barrier integrity, gut immune function, micronutrient synthesis. So avoid gut mania and head to the trusted source for Symbiotics. Start a new healthy habit today. Visit seed.com/toast and use code TOAST to redeem 20% off your first month of Seed's DS01 Daily Symbiotic. That's seed, SEED.com/toast and use code TOAST today. Check it out. It's the Seed's DS01 Daily Symbiotic.
Thank you, McClardia Laterdia.
You're welcome.
Our first story, Rihanna gave a great interview saying she's pinching herself over the combination of motherhood, Oscars, and the Super Bowl. So she told Entertainment Tonight, motherhood, Oscars, Super Bowl, I'm still pinching myself, really. I'm grateful. So not only is Rihanna up for a Grammy, she just had a bebe and her first live performance.
An Oscar.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Sorry, blame the neck. But, but I'm not going to challenge you. I did say Grammy. Yeah. An Oscar, she's had a baby, and she's performing in the Super Bowl, her first live performance since 2017, she told the outlet. It really feels like a lot's happening at once, in the words of Luke Combs, when it rains, it pours. So she true. Also held a press conference on Thursday by Apple Music, the official sponsor of the halftime show, and she opened
up. It's so crazy. It's the first non-Pepsi one.
Mm-hmm. She opened up about preparing for this weekend's career-defining performance. She said, Sunday, now that's the one. I've been so focused on the Super Bowl, I totally forgot that my birthday's coming up. I totally forgot about Valentine's Day. She said among the biggest challenges for her performance was choosing which songs to choose. She said, quote, that was the hardest part, deciding how to maximize 13 minutes, but also celebrate. That's what the show is going to be. It's going to be a celebration of my catalog in the best way that we could have put it together. You're trying to cram 17 years of work into 13 minutes, so it's difficult.
Yeah.
Some songs we have to lose because of that, and that's going to be okay, but I think we did a pretty good job of narrowing it down.
I also am so curious about if she's going to bring any guests, because so many of like her iconic songs have features. I mean, I would just plot if she sang 4 or 5 seconds. I feel like she won't.
She will not.
I know, but like maybe she could have brought out Paul McCartney.
Yeah, but that like when you think about her songs and her big ones, like they're so huge.
Yeah, that like they're global.
4 or 5 seconds actually doesn't even register. But like,
no, but also
Umbrella,
Diamonds.
We Found Love in a Hopeless Place.
Don't Stop the Music. Wait, throwback, Ponder Replay.
I think she'll do Ponder Replay just because it was like her first hit.
I know.
And I think it'll probably be like a journey through her music.
I love that. If they go chronologically, I would really enjoy that.
Maybe not the whole time, but like I feel like the first song will be the earliest and the last song will actually, maybe not. Because it's like a like, you know, sometimes they start off slow and it's like the ballads.
Bitch, and then we're better have my money.
And then we're cranking it up.
Yeah.
But actually, I don't know if she'll be chronological.
I wonder what she'll choose from the Auntie era. That was like one of her most iconic eras. Like
Love on the brain.
I know.
Work.
It's exciting. Work.
It's
maybe she'll bring out DJ Khaled. I like hope, like, I like when they bring out people, but like, honestly, for Rihanna, this is such a moment. People have been waiting for something like this from Rihanna for so long. I wouldn't be mad if she brought nobody out. I feel like they almost force people to bring people out, like to make it more of a spectacle. But like, let Rihanna do her thing.
I would kind of prefer if she brought nobody out. Katy Perry brought people out. Lady Gaga brought nobody out. Yeah.
Nobody. Lady Gaga's is one of the best. So, and you know what else I was thinking? I mean, I can't talk about the Super Bowl halftime show without talking about one of my favorite stories. Lady Gaga's 5'2". The documentary she made while getting ready for the Super Bowl. It was so interesting. And you know, Rihanna has that big streaming deal with Amazon Prime because they do the Savage stuff. I would love, love a documentary about getting ready for this.
I feel like it's really possible. She also talked about getting ready for it, how this week's rehearsals are just like make or break, how it's the biggest, like craziest endeavor. Practically impossible what she's trying to do, the stage, the dancers, the breaking it down of the stage. Also, they shall be breaking it down, I assume, but she didn't say that.
Oh, you mean like physically breaking down the stage, like to get in and out in 15 minutes?
Yes, 8 minutes.
No, she said it's 13 minutes.
No, but the breaking it down, putting it up and breaking it down on the field.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about too.
Yeah, same.
Wait.
I think we're all talking about that.
Wait, I had one more thing to say.
But I'm seriously... Oh. Not okay.
I could tell.
Can you tell?
It's
like,
giving.
I mean,
you sound sick.
No, I'm not sick. My neck.
Oh, sure.
My neck, Claudia.
Your back?
Like, usually when we start the show, any pain I have, I can forget about it, but it's growing. It's strengthening.
I'm so sorry.
It's crazy.
I keep trying to say something and then remembering it and forgetting it. Just, oh, did you see what Rihanna said? I actually really liked what she said. I think the question was like, are you nervous or whatever? And she was like, honestly, after giving birth, like nothing scares me. Like I'm a mom. I can literally do anything. And I kind of loved that mindset. Like obviously I've never given birth, but it's one of my biggest fears. And I imagine once I hopefully, God willing, Baruch Hashem, conquer it, like you will not find me being nervous about a single goddamn thing.
Yeah. I was actually just thinking about that the other day. It reminds me of that scene from Ted where Tammy is, what's her name? Ted's girlfriend.
Tammy Lynn.
Yeah, Tammy Lynn. She's going to fight Mila Kunis. And she's like, I've given birth, bitch. And it's like,
so true.
I have given birth, bitch. Fight me.
Do you have that sentiment? Like nothing scares you anymore?
Not so like directly. If I were going to do a big performance, like, yeah, I would get scared. But like, I do feel like, you know, I know pain.
So true. Like, you know what? No one on this planet knows pain more than women who have given birth.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nobody.
I don't know. Then you start to think of all different kinds of
pain. Define pain.
Yeah, yeah. But like, it's a big, you know.
Physical pain.
It's a big thing to do.
It's like that episode of Friends. What do you think is worse pain? Getting railed really hard in the nuts or giving birth? I still say giving birth.
Yeah. Like if you're getting like kicked in the nuts, like find new friends. Like, what are you doing?
Oh, totally.
You know, but if you want to have a baby, there's two ways out, but.
Yeah, no, I definitely could see myself taking the C-section route. Like
they say recovery is harder. So it's like short-term gain, long-term pain.
And then I think they say you can only have 3 C-sections. Not that I'm like, you know, trying to have 8 kids, but like you never know.
Yeah, then you'd have to switch. So,
right.
But a lot of people do like elective C-sections. There's pros and cons to everything. Such is life.
There actually was an episode in the Mindy Project about that.
And what did they say?
Mindy, she's so me. Like, I was obsessed. She was pregnant, spoiler alert. And she's like, she booked this, like, fancy, like, best suite in the hospital. She scheduled her C-section. And when her boyfriend, the father, found out, he was like, you're going to take the easy way out? And I was like, okay, leave this bitch alone. Like, fuck off. And then he actually, like, ended up, like, getting to Mindy. And she did it. And she was so proud of herself. But, like, I don't think really, like, C-section's, like, such an easy way out. Like, you're still getting, like, major surgery. And, like, literally your organs are, like, on a table.
Yeah, I don't think it's such an easy way out. So she wound up doing vaginal.
And she was so proud of herself.
She was shamed into it.
She was literally shamed into it. Danny, like, the character who's, like, her OTP in the show. Such a dick. Like, oh, speaking of dicks. You and I, when we were together like 2 nights ago, decided to just like mindlessly watch Laguna Beach. And when I got home last night, I got way into season 1. I'm obsessed. I don't ever remember watching this show. Like nothing is even remotely familiar to me except like the bones, you know, Kristen, Steven.
All right, now watching it, are you team Kristen or team LC?
Beyond team Kristen. Let me tell you why. Kristen is me. She's so fucking negative. Like every time she shows up somewhere, she's like, can we leave? This sucks. I want to go home. She's never once been happy on the show for 1 minute. She's at this restaurant. Ugh, this sucks. Let's go home. Like she's so, if I was around her, I would want to kill her, but I'm self-aware enough to know like that's literally me. Everywhere I get somewhere, I'm like, can we go home? This place sucks. And you know what? She didn't really do anything to Lauren. If anything, when the show started, Kristen and Steven were together and like Lauren's the one being like, they keep calling Kristen slutty. Actually, Lauren is being quite slutty. But the crazy thing, and for how times have changed so much, first of all, I kept sending you videos. Literally once an episode, one of the characters uses the R word. Like Steven's like, this salad tastes weird. And Kristen's like, yeah, because the dressing's R word. I was like, I rewound and put on captions. I'm like, did I just hear that? They say it so many times. And then when they go to Cabo, Kristen's like done with Steven and she's like dancing on the bars, like being cute. And she wants to make out with this guy, Sam. And literally, I don't know how we were all like drooling over Steven. He pulls her out of the club, screaming in her face, grabbing her arm. You're a slut. You're a slut. You're just slut, slut, slut. And she like is so unfazed by it, queen. But I'm like, and then everyone's like, good for you, Steven. I'm like, you're. It was honestly so toxic. I couldn't believe what I was seeing. And it's really just a moment in time. What year was that? Because we were in like middle school, 2007,
yeah, 2006? Yeah, around then.
It is a time capsule of the culture. R word, slut, and it's totally acceptable. Like, no, all the girls were like, Steven, good for you. Kristen was acting really slutty.
Yeah.
Like, it's insane.
I know. To, like, when you watch it with our, the lens of, like, the world that we live in now, it's really crazy. Yeah. But for the time, like, that was par for the course.
No, and that's why we were all, like, walking around middle school saying the R word. Like, everyone was.
I mean, it was on the radio. Like, the Laguna Beach didn't invent the R word. And if anybody tries to, like, cancel them. So if anyone tries to cancel them now for saying the R word, like.
No.
Start with Fergie.
It was a part of the culture. I mean, Entourage, they say it all the time in the first season. It's just so jarring to hear a forbidden word. Like, not bleeped out. It's not bleeped.
Yeah. I wonder how the cast feels about it being back on. Because I know that, like, Kristen has talked about it. They obviously have the rewatch show. Mm-hmm. And I know that they are really embarrassed by things that they did. Like, when Lauren went on Back to the Beach, like, she apologized to Kristen for calling her a slut. She was like, that's so fucked up that I said that. Like, that was, like, one of her biggest regrets.
Right.
Like, I'm sure they're all texting each other like,
there's worse. Guys, it was shocking. Like, this bomb. But I'm enjoying it so much. I'm obsessed with Kristen. Like, and I'm just obsessed with the way they were, like, they've just skyrocketed to fame and they were so normal and they had, like, such normal bodies and, like, it was just, like, everything. Oh, but then, like, they went to this fashion show. It was Rebecca Minkoff. I was dying. They went to this fashion show, like, Trey, they're like all the ancillary characters, like, you could not catch me remembering who the fuck Morgan was, okay? And then, like, that other girl, I think her name was Christina, she, like, went to New York for spring break instead of Cabo, and her, like, mom got her an audition.
I remember her.
And she auditions on Broadway and she sings Only Hope, which is so quintessential of the times. She was so fucking horrible. It was the best scene of my whole life. Like, I was obsessed. But you could not catch me remembering who anyone is except for, like, the main four. Like, Lo, Elsie, Kristen. I remembered that Kristen friend girl
who was,
like, so up Kristen's ass.
Yeah.
I kind of liked her. She had taste. Like, she knew what was good. But in this scene, what scene was I talking about?
So the fashion show.
And it's Elsie, Steven, and Steven's friend who got the tickets, the blonde guy, Trey.
Talon?
No, Trey. So they're talking about how, like, models are really unattractive when they're so skinny. Like, just, like, talking about bodies, like, you would just never talk like that now. Like, I agree. Like, to be so under, you know, underweight is scary. But, like, it was just, it's so indicative of like, the difference and the shift in the culture. It's really should be studied.
That's so funny.
It's so
good. I wonder if they, like, quake over shit like that. Or they also all say, like, they haven't rewatched it. They might not even know, like, what's in there. But that also might be why they won't rewatch it. Because, like, they don't want to know.
No, and it's just so crazy, our perception. Because at the time, it was like, Elsie was so cool. Kristen was coming for her neck. But, like, nobody could touch Elsie. And what I've gathered from watching the first five episodes is, like, Elsie is the biggest loser. All she does is, like, sit around her house and sit around Laguna Beach waiting for Steven to call. She, like, goes out with, like, Steven and his friends and, like, hangs on, and she's, like, a loser. And all of her friends are, like, starting to drop her. Like, those other two girls, Christina and Morgan, like, don't want to hang out with her and Lo anymore because they're, like, they're unscrupled. And the other two girls, like, they're virgins and, like, they have, like, they're just, like, different. And it's just, I don't remember it being like that. I was like, nobody's cooler than Elsie. Really? On the show, out of all of them, the last one I'd want to be is Elsie.
Yeah. But I think also the show, and she said this on Back to the Beach, like, the show makes her look even more pathetic. They have, like, these, like, longing, like, gazes between her and Steven where, like, they probably weren't even looking at each other, but, like, the way that they frame it and they put some music on it, that it's constantly, like, this narrative under the show, like, the one that got away is Elsie, but it's not, like, really. And Lauren said this, she said, what I didn't realize, I rewatched the first season when I knew I was coming on this podcast and I had COVID, was that, like, Kristen and Steven were in love. Like, they have, it's a love story between the two of them. Like, and Elsie is in the way.
Big dope energy.
Yeah.
And the music, I mean, it's, the score is just, there's so many songs on there you don't remember. We got more bounce in California than all your combined. So good. Champagne supernova in the sky. Like, whatever, I'm sure there's, like, a Laguna Beach playlist. I need to listen to it. It's so good.
You should.
So that's my little recap. And you know, the episodes are actually 5 minutes long, which is why I love it. Because they're, like, 30-minute episodes broken down with commercials. It's, like, 21. I'll be done. I'll be done later today.
Amazing.
So good.
Are you going to watch, like, the next season when Kristen's a senior? And are you going to watch, like, would you watch The Hills after?
I don't know. I'm like, The Hills is all about Lauren, and I'm like kind of hating Lauren.
Yeah.
Kristen is just cute as a button. Like, she's just adorable. Yeah. Like, and she wears the same thing every day. Like, a black tank top, black low-rise jeans, and a black choker. And it's just iconic with her, like, short, like, surfer girl hair.
Yeah.
And, like, Steven takes her surfing, and she's like, this sucks. Can we go home? Like, it's so funny.
So much of rewatching old shows is, like, realizing how at the time that we watched them, like, we were all really wrong. You know what it always reminds me of? When Melissa Gorga went on Real Housewives of New Jersey, and we were all like riding so hard for Teresa at the time that like we all hated Melissa. And it's like, mm-hmm. Melissa is a sweet, nice girl. Like, why can't we like her too? Teresa yeah. treated her so poorly, and we're like, yeah, Teresa, yeah. she's the worst. It's like, we don't fucking know her.
In too deep.
We don't know her.
We were in too deep.
And guess who turned out like, to be the worst?
Tree. Who loves her daughters.
Tree.
I love my future daughters.
Tree, not to be confused with Trey.
Thank you.
Okay, are you ready for our next story?
Yeah.
I didn't hear an audible yes.
Oh, I said yes.
Oh, okay, great. Thank you for the enthusiasm. Helena Hutchins' parents and sister are suing Alec Baldwin and Russ Producers. The Ukrainian parents and sister of cinematographer Helena Hutchins filed a lawsuit on Thursday against Alec Baldwin and the producers of Rust in connection with her death in October 21, 2021. Attorney Gloria Allred announced the lawsuit at a press conference at her office on Thursday morning. Alec is also facing a charge of involuntary manslaughter in Santa Fe, New Mexico, and he is due to appear in court remotely to answer for that charge on February 24th. Everyone has denied culpability in Hutchins' death and pointed to mistakes made by others that allowed a live round to be introduced to the set in violation of industry safety standards. Helena Hutchins' husband, Matthew, filed his own wrongful death lawsuit a year ago on behalf of himself, his wife's estate, and the couple's son. The lawsuit is in the process of being settled, and Matthew Hutchins has signed on as an executive producer of the film, which is due to resume production in the next weeks. He said in a statement, I have no interest in engaging in recriminations or attribution of blame. All of us believe Helena's death was a terrible accident. At the press conference, Gloria Allred said that Helena's family supports Matthew and is not second-guessing his decision to settle. They said, quote, the settlement was for Matthew and his child, and we are now representing others in the family, mom, yeah. dad, and sister, and there has been no settlement for them.
Okay, got it. So he settled, therefore he has to, like, you know, appear, like, outwardly say, you know, we're good. No,
and, like, he's not going to, like, join this suit. He had his own suit, and it's come to an end. And it's...
But the family and him seem to be okay with each other's different battles.
Yeah, they're not outwardly being, like, you shouldn't settle or anything like that. The only thing that I don't understand, and so, like, maybe it would make a lot of sense if I understood it, is, like, the executive producer credit.
Yeah. I guess that's maybe just a way of getting him more settlement, like as a part of his deal. Like, we'll pay you this sum, but, you know, if the movie makes any money, the movie in which your wife tragically died on, like, you be a part of it too. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's weird for sure in the way that it sounds, but I have to assume it's just a way of getting him more money.
Yeah. It's still so crazy to me that the show will be going on.
It's the weirdest thing.
And if Alec Baldwin...
I didn't even know that they finished.
If Alec Baldwin gets charged, will he still be in the star?
So, like, the way I see it is, like, with the charges, it's so frustrating because it really was an accident. But at the end of the day, someone died. And, like, we still don't really know how. And, like, someone is to blame. And I don't know if that means, like, because they, you know, negligence means they should spend the rest of their life in prison. I don't think it was Alec. But, it's like something needs to happen. Like somebody died. A child lost their mom. A young woman lost her life. And I do think that like these lawsuits and like these civil like suits are probably like the best way to get some sort of justice. Because while it's a terrible thing that happened, like I don't know if there's really was any bad intent. I think it was just like somebody fucked up.
I don't know that there was bad intent, but like, why was a live round on? And if it was the person who's in charge of ballistics, are they also the same person that loaded a gun? And they know the difference between the live round and because that, even if it's not malicious, which I don't think it is, it's like gross negligence. And like, there are consequences.
Yeah. It is still the most crazy, unbelievable thing that I think has happened in the last 10 years. It's so sad. And I had also read, remember those turnt videos of Hilaria and Alec like pulled over on the side of the road talking to paparazzi and Hilaria is like filming it and Alec's telling her to shut up?
Mm-hmm.
All the interviews and all like everything he said, that's all now able to be used against him.
Yeah, which we always have known. So which dumb. Is why when Erica Jayne says, like, I can't talk about it, it's frustrating. But, like, you do understand because everything she says will be used against her and twisted. So if you don't give them anything, they can't twist it.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyways, so crazy. I can't believe the movie's still coming out. Like, who would go see that?
Not even, it's not even that it's coming out. Because, like, if it was a wrap, if it was somehow done and they just, like, put it out.
Right.
Then maybe it's like, okay, you know, Helena's last work. But, like, that they're going back to a set.
Right, and finishing it.
Yeah.
They really need to just let it go.
Seriously. Are you ready for our next story?
Yes.
Misha Barton, an old interview with her, is resurfacing where she said that she was told to sleep with Leonardo DiCaprio when she was just 19. In a 2005 interview, which has resurfaced following DiCaprio's recent sightings with 19-year-old model Eden Polani, the OC star recalled how her then-publicist had urged her to bed the notorious playboy who was 30 at the time. Barton, who is now 37, told what is now Harper's Bazaar that her rep said, "Go and sleep with that man," when they saw DiCaprio at a photo shoot in Malibu. What's more, the actress claimed she had been advised to do so for the sake of her career. Misha told the magazine she had no interest in dating an older man before asking, "Isn't he like 30 or something?" At the time, he was just back on the market following his split from Giselle. Page Six has reached out to reps for Leo and Misha for further comment. So this is like a crazy anecdote, but like, and maybe Leo has something going on, but like this story to me, I do not find Leonardo DiCaprio culpable.
No,
like
it I find the really poorly on the publicist,
the rep, like yeah, reach like out to her freak. For comment.
Yeah, no, I agree. Like this is just an interesting story given what's going on, and I see how people like could be making connections. But if you actually read it, Leonardo didn't, you know, prompt her.
No,
propose sex, like. I don't even think they ended up speaking. So it's like, I think it's more indicative of like how disgusting Hollywood can be and like how that's the culture to like pawn off your 19-year-old client to fuck a man 11 years older than her just for like fame. And that's mortifying for the publicist. But it doesn't really say much about Leo.
No, not at all. Other than that his girlfriend's become famous, which like we know.
Right. We know.
So like, why don't you track down the publicist, internet?
Yeah, let's get a name.
No, like, I don't need a name, but, like, why are you reaching out to Leo for comment? Like, literally, he's, like, done a lot of weird shit, but, like, this actually isn't one of those
things. I know, I completely agree. Like, if we're going to do, like, some expose, like, there's more better things to expose.
Yeah. But, I could see it.
Yeah, for sure.
And even now, like, cute couple.
No, at the time, I mean, now we're so, like, jaded that 19 and 30, oh, that's not bad.
That's better than Scott Disick.
Right. I mean, it's better than 19 and 48, Leo, right now, Eden. And like, you know, she really went back when she was 19, she was totally his type. That was like his Blake Lively, Bar Raffaele, Giselle era, like really tall, slender, beautiful women. And you know what? It would have been cute, but good for Misha. Obviously has like good parents and like had like a good head on her shoulders. Cause I think, you know, if you were 19 and like super famous and you just were kind of free falling, like you would just do it.
Yeah. No, but she's had her troubles.
Yeah, that's true.
We need a Misha memoir.
Yes, Misha, actually.
Title, Misha's Memoir.
No. Hold on.
It's time you heard it from Misha.
Shaw. Love.
All about Misha.
That's actually a good title.
Me, Myself,
and Misha. I love that.
Misha, come on. Misha's on the hills.
I know. That's what I was thinking when you said that story. I'm like, what a weird, that was like a weird thing they did, that Hills no, reboot.
No, it's honestly, first of all, she was amazing. She was only on for one season. And I thought it was going to be weird because it's like, don't bring this person into and right. ruin this show, especially because she was on The OC, which Laguna Beach was modeled after. So mm-hmm. it was like, you know, it's kind of like Tinsley Mortimer becoming on Real Housewives.
Yes,
like it was
yes.
like, we're too big.
The art meets the artist.
Yeah, exactly. But one, it's actually pretty cool that it came full circle that she wound up being on the show that like was inspired by her original show. For, I could be talking about either Tinsley or Misha, mm-hmm. but I'm talking about Misha. And two, oh my God, I loved her. She was so grounded.
I did really like her.
She was such a good friend. She gave such good advice. She was so not like obsessed with herself. And I don't know why she didn't get a second season, probably because she wasn't all those things and like she wasn't toxic and she was just a good person.
I was under the assumption she didn't want to come back. Like that's how I saw it.
Well, she went for the first one. Why wouldn't she? I think she just was like a little boring for them.
I liked her.
I loved her.
Yeah.
I missed her.
I didn't love that reboot though.
No. I miss her. Well, the reboot's over too.
Yeah, I know. I think that's for the best.
Yeah. Was Kristen on the reboot, the second season?
No. Oh, I don't know about the second season because I only watched the first, but she was filming very Cavallari and there was like, you know, conflict.
But I feel like by the time they did the second season, which was literally like not very long ago, she was available again. I feel like she was on it.
I think that's part of the reason why like the show didn't really succeed. They didn't get like the major players.
Yeah. No, and it's like everyone is like married and has kids and it's
right.
Just,
It's different. Yeah.
Are you ready for our next story?
If it's the next story, that is brought to you by Away, is it?
It is.
Away makes suitcases, bags, and other travel accessories designed to make moving through the world a lot more seamless, which is a good thing because travel makes us better people by giving us different perspectives. So no matter where you're going, you can always rely on Away's range of travel products to solve real travel problems and get you out there. We are Away girlies. Every suitcase I have, whether it's check size, carry-on size, is from Away. I love so many things about the Away. One, it comes with a laundry bag, so like your dirty undies don't get like all smelly up your clean clothes. It has that like, you know, middle pouch where you could put all your like little negligees. It's really built to last. It's designed really well. It has those four 360-degree spinner wheels. It makes a smooth roll through an airport, even if your airport has a carpet, which is beyond dumb. So they make suitcases, bags, other travel essentials, and they're made of different materials like polycarbonate and aluminum. They come in a variety of colors, variety of sizes. So whatever you're packing, wherever you're going, their luggage will make you help make your next trip seamless. They're built to last. They're durable, lightweight exteriors. They can withstand even the roughest of baggage handlers. Again, they have those four 360-degree spinner wheels. You get the smoothest roll. They also come with the TSA-approved combination lock that keeps all your belongings safe. They also offer free shipping and returns on any non-personalized order within the contiguous U.S., Canada, and the U.K. Start your 100-day trial. So everything that they make, they give you a 100-day trial. Take it out on the road. Live with it. Love with it. Travel with it. If you decide it's not for you, you can return any non-personalized items for the first 100 days. So get that full 100-day trial and shop the entire Away lineup of travel essentials, including their best-selling suitcases and bags at awaytravel.com/toast. That's awaytravel.com/toast.
Thank you, Turdy.
We got more bounce in California than all you combined.
Next up, Jennifer Coolidge says that she studied mortuary makeup before acting, and she admitted she was not the best.
It's giving Phaedra Parks.
It's giving Paulette Bonafonte.
Literally.
The actress who starred as the nail tech and makeup guru in Legally Blonde recently spoke to Vogue about her new Super Bowl commercial for e.l.f. Cosmetics. And along with sharing her love for the retailer's affordable makeup, she shared that her career almost took a very different path. Quote, I sort of thought that maybe I'd be a makeup artist, but I was not the best in the class. And who wants to be sort of mediocre at something if you pick that as a career? She attended the Joe Blasco School in LA to study special effects, fashion, and beauty in a curriculum that included a mortuary makeup class, though there were no cadavers included in the class. While she didn't end up going to the funeral home route and chose acting instead, the actress did learn a thing or two during beauty school. She said, if you have dark under eyes like black or blue, you can actually mix orange makeup in with your concealer and it will completely cover the blue or yellow to cover redness.
It's called color correction, yeah.
Yeah. Well, when Jennifer says it, like,
it's different.
It's better.
Wait. So this also begs the question now, a conversation we had a few weeks ago about jobs you never want to have, is like being a mortician slash like, you know, getting bodies ready, formaldehyde, makeup, clothing. No. Is that something you could ever do?
No, morgue things, I don't think I could do.
Well, that's different than a funeral. Morgue is like autopsies. You like open up people's bodies.
No, that would be an autopsier.
No, that's that, and that happens at
no,
the morgue.
No, but there are the people who, like, you know, are in charge of organizing the morgue. They
the
don't
drawers.
Do, like, being doing an autopsy is like a special skill set.
Yeah, yeah. You so see, you're saying you would never want to be like an organizer at the morgue?
I would never want to be an organizer at the morgue.
A morganizer.
Would you?
No.
Would you want to do autopsies?
No, I think doing an autopsy is probably worse than being like a, you know, funeral makeup and clothing.
Yeah,
like,
I could sooner do funeral makeup.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to. I mean, it's like that episode of The Simple Life, which had to have been fake when they like had the job spray tanning dead people.
Oh my God.
That had like, to have been
fake. I'd rather do funeral makeup than be a morganizer.
Yeah, me too. I mean, I just don't, I don't know how I would be around dead bodies. I mean, I've been around one in my life and it was like a loved one, so.
No, it's like, different. And then it was like, different. And it's just, I can't even continue the conversation.
And we don't even know like really what goes down because in Judaism, you bury the person the day after they die. So there's no, you know, formaldehyde. You don't do like pump up their body. But in other cultures, you know, you wait weeks and by the time the body, like it needs all that stuff. So I don't know what that stuff is because we don't do that.
Would you rather be a morganizer or do beach chairs on the beach?
I don't know. It's really cold in the morgue. And I think I would like the temperature.
You could wear your sweatshirt.
So, okay. But what's the morganizer, like, what's my responsibilities?
Okay.
Like pulling the drawers open?
Yeah. Like when a person comes in, I mean, I don't know what they were, like, I'm going to just do hypothetical. Yes. Hypothetical. Person comes in on the tray.
Stretcher.
And
tray.
You, stretcher. And you have to put them in the drawer, tag it.
Are they already in the bag?
Yeah, yeah, they're already in the bag probably. But maybe you need to put a tag on their toe or something.
Yeah. I mean, I'd have to say the beach.
You'd get tan.
But honestly, it's a tough call.
Maybe you
it's
get
tough
like
call.
Maybe you could get you get like, you know, some free fries at the beach club.
That's true.
Start thinking of the positives.
Yeah.
You would get so skinny.
Oh my God, I would be so fit, like athletic, like strong calves. Tan. I actually probably end up looking like a little leathery, like a purse.
Skinny as a needle.
Skinny as a needle.
So
that's tough.
Yeah, Jennifer Coolidge chose to be an actress instead.
I think that's for the best because she seems to be pretty good at it.
Yeah. She's one of a kind. You know, the industry
She's
wouldn't be the same.
One of a kind. I couldn't have said it
there
better.
There are a lot of actresses we discuss all the time, actresses who like could be replaced with another,
yes.
could be interchangeable. We
yes.
don't even know who they are.
Yes.
But you don't get Jennifer Coolidge confused with anybody else.
She's a once in a lifetime talent.
Yeah, in it, like, but it's not like she's more talented. She's the most talented.
Once in a lifetime personality.
Yeah, because like, she's Jennifer.
Yeah, she's in her own lane.
And you got to run your own race, Turdy.
Yeah, and I don't think like she's out here competing with other actresses. Like, I think people are actually
creating roles
for her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are you ready for our fifth and final story, which is little podcasting news?
Oh, always ready to, you know, read the industry to filth.
Yeah, unexpected podcasting news, and I don't know how much filth you're going to be able to read.
Okay.
Winnie the Pooh has gotten a podcast deal at Baboon Animation. Go, kid, go.
Dumb.
After revealing a film prequel and series to A.A. Milne's beloved book, Winnie the Pooh, Baboon Animation has set a 5-property podcast deal with Go Kid Go, starting with stories from the Pooh Corner, working title. The podcast,
yeah,
like the
I think that's a title that needs to change. Sounds like a corner full of shit.
The podcast, like the feature, will explore the characters' young lives before the tales in the book took place and will acquaint preschool-age children with all the classic pals from Milne's 100-acre wood and introduce new characters. These younger characters will have big, fresh appeal for a brand new kid audience.
Honestly,
I don't know. Do you think
really complex for like a kid's
story? Do you think
story?
Winnie the Pooh can make it in this day and age with these kids?
He's going up against
Coco Melon. He's going up against Baby Shark.
No, and I do think there is like a place for podcasting for kids. Like I really think Miss Rach would have a really popular podcast, like basically audio versions of her videos. However, I think it's hard to keep kids attention when it's just audio. That's why like Miss Rach is singing and like all that
stuff. No, but say you're in the car. Like I don't expect them to like put on headphones.
I know, but like iPad.
In the car?
Like I'm saying you're competing with like Coco Melon. Yeah, people have iPads in the car.
Yeah,
I think like a backstory about like it's too complex for a podcast for kids.
I don't know. I think it could be done. I'd rather have my kid listen to a podcast in the car than watch a screen just because of motion sickness.
Yeah, that's why I think like Miss Rach not uploading her videos as podcasts is a huge loss. Miss Rach, if you hear this, free idea.
Yeah, or someone could like rip the audio.
Yeah, or just like play their phone, YouTube, for sure. But like get on another platform, Miss Rach.
Yeah, because also sometimes the kids are sitting backwards. So it's like you're traveling backwards and you're watching something on a screen. Couldn't be me. Oh, and you might be having a snack. Vomit.
It's so true.
Maybe drinking some milk. Yikes.
Yeah, but kids are fucking, you know.
They're crazy.
They're crazy. They do shit we could never do. Like they love to be thrown around and tossed and they don't even get dizzy.
No, it's wild out there. But I like the idea of kids podcasting. I mean, of course, it then starts to compete with us because then the parents in the car, you know, all of a sudden They could be like, we're in the car. We have to listen to mommy's show. Mm-hmm. But now all of a sudden kid goes, what about Winnie the Pooh, Ma?
Right. Turn on Miss Rach.
Turn on Coco Melon. Coco Melon is getting a podcast, I think.
Are they?
We report on kids' podcasts, you know, a couple times a year.
I've heard so much about Coco Melon. Like for years, everyone's like, my kids, it's like crack. And I only saw it for the first time like a couple of weeks ago when Michaela was watching it. And I was like, this is what everyone's obsessed with. Like, I thought it was like very low budget. I thought their songs stunk it up. They were like half not even on melody and their rhymes like weren't even that inspired. I was like, I could do better. I was shocked that this was like the thing everyone was obsessed with.
No, it's addictive. And then you realize they're getting addicted to mediocrity.
Oh, you know, so true. We need our kids to aspire to do better.
Yeah. So I'm anti Coco Melon.
You have my full support.
Thank you. You know, Mickey could have a podcast. Hiya, kids.
Totally. Let's get our mouse-ca-tools.
We're going for a car ride on a road trip.
Hot dog, hot dog, hot diggity dog. Hot dog, hot dog, hot diggity dog. So good.
Ba-ba-ba-da-ba. But it's you guys, when in doubt,
club
put on the toast for your kids. Sure, yeah. We curse sometimes. Such is life.
Jinx, you owe me a soda.
But like if you guys were like, if we got a lot of comments that were like, I literally would love to listen to you guys with my kids in the car, like the songs, the rhythm of the girlies, mm-hmm. etc. The, you know, the vocabulary. But like you guys curse way too much. Like I really can't. I personally would make a conscious effort to curse less. I'm not saying that I could do it, but I would try.
I first of all, I wouldn't because it's literally impossible for me to stop cursing. It is. That's like you asking me to stop saying the word like. It's just
we've gotten so much better, Turdy, though.
With like?
Yeah, like from our first early days.
Oh, when we go back and watch old episodes, like is horrible.
Yeah, so I think we could improve.
I think we could improve too. Yeah, I definitely think we're better with the like. Because practicing talking every day, like you become so conscious of it.
Free idea for the apps. You like Spotify or Apple should have a feature where you could bleep curse words when you're listening to it, just like on captions on Instagram stories. They would like, you know, scan through your episode and bleep out bad words.
That's a great idea.
Someone needs to invent that technology and sell it. And then if it like Spotify had it, then everybody would listen on Spotify.
Yeah. Oh my God. That's like literally.
Why do we have to change? Why don't you guys work on that?
We have so many good ideas that we like throw out here, but that might be your best one yet.
It's like it's kind of like $1 million idea.
It's kind of $1 billion idea.
If you think it could sell to Spotify. No, I think it would sell to Spotify for like 50 mil.
No, I think not only Spotify, like every platform, there's so many major $1 billion media companies that need that.
Yeah.
Pandora. Because you could use it for music too.
Yeah. Get to work, someone. Someone who's in that field of programming. Of like, someone get you know, to work. Coding and
that
such.
That 9-year-old kid who graduated high school.
I have a lot of things for him to work on.
Me too.
He should also like work on kids' television.
Yeah.
What could the kids watch?
Right.
That's not Coco Melon that will make them more like you.
More educational content.
I wonder what if he ever chooses to relax, what he watches, how he winds down.
Such a good question. We need to get him on the toast.
We do.
So those were the Fast Five. They were actually pretty good. And it was a nice episode, you know, kind of easing us back into the remote setup. It's the last one of the week, last one before Super Bowl. So I hope everyone has a great time at the Super Bowl. Make sure to eat a ton, root hard, you know, enjoy the Rihanna concert. It's very exciting.
It is exciting. We'll see you on Monday and we'll know who
we'll
won.
Know more then.
We'll know more then and we will have a full recap, but maybe up until halftime because I might have to go to sleep. It might be my bedtime.
Thank you guys so much for listening to The Toast, the Millennial Morning Show, our 1001st episode. We go live every Monday through Friday on YouTube. So if you're watching this on YouTube, please feel free to subscribe and give this video a thumbs up. We're also available as a podcast anywhere podcasts can be found. So that's Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Public Radio, iHeartRadio, CastBox, all the places you've ever listened to podcasts. Find us at Toast, 5-star review about a beautiful, stunning, and wickedly talented we are.
Wicked.
Hope you guys have an amazing weekend. We love ya, and we'll see you on Monday.
Love ya. Bye.